This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article titled All I Want for Christmas is a City Council with a Backbone, and that appeared in the Reader on December 15th, 2011. And this article talks about, it's kind of a quick tour de force of what's happened in the first partial year of Mayor Emanuel's administration with his friends in the city council.
With a few jokes thrown in.
Yeah, it was actually quite amusing, I thought.
Yeah.
It gave me a chuckle or two. I thought it might be instructive to examine how some of our more independent aldermen came to be what, according to your article, you'd consider not so independent. You talk about one in particular, a freshman alderman, Amaya Pawar, who's in the 47th Ward. Let's start off with sort of a baseline. Let's just pick a subject that might help us determine something that,
okay,
that would help us decide whether aldermen are independent, like approval of the mayor's budget proposal.
That is correct.
That's all 50, all 50 aldermen
50 to zip, baby.
Voted for it. Which ones would you have expected at any point not to have approved the budget?
Well, I start with the freshman aldermen, the rookies, because, and I listed a bunch of them in the story, Amaya Pawar being the most significant, I suppose, since I wrote about his campaign. But there were others. Amaya Pawar, Tim Cullerton, James Kappelman, Deborah Silverstein, Michael Chandler, and John Arena. And I mentioned them, those particular rookie aldermen, because I interviewed them all as candidates back in February of this year, and January of this year, or I moderated debates that they participated in at that time, or I sat in and listened to debates they participated in times. And that was a very thrilling time for me, if such things can be thrilling, because listening to these wannabe aldermen and candidates, it was almost like a verification of everything that you and I have been talking about for 3 years now.
So you felt validated.
I felt validated, yes, and significant and important. Later, I realized it was just all a ruse. I'm not significant. I'm not important. None of this matters.
Even worse.
Yeah, even worse. But the part that now I find rather amusing, I found it rather amusing at the time too as well, was how all of them insisted that had they been in the council at the time, they would have voted against the parking meter deal, which is probably going to go down in history as one of the worst deals that Mayor Daley ever shoved through the city council. You know, I wish I could have been there. I would have voted against it. In fact, I remember in the 32nd Ward, some of the challengers, none of whom got elected, were criticizing Scott Wagasback because he didn't do enough. And if you recall, Scott Wagasback was one of the five who voted against the parking meter deal. So I thought, based on what they said, that it would be a completely different city council and that when it came to oversight of the various slush funds and taxes that the mayor imposes, they would be more vigilant in defending the public. But of course, when push came to shove, all the new guys who said they would be different were not different, and they were the same. In fact, it was a 50-0 whitewash.
You've talked about the freshman aldermen. What about existing aldermen?
Oh, the existing ones.
Which one of those would you have expected not to have approved the budget?
Well, Scott Wagasback in the 32nd Ward, Jolton Joe Moore in the 49th Ward, based on past votes, perhaps Pat Dowell in the 3rd, Ray Colon in the 35th, maybe even Sandy Jackson in the 7th, Leslie Harrison in the 5th, Bob Fioretti in the 2nd. These are all possibilities. In the past, these people have voted against various initiatives put by Mayor Daley or have spoken about voting against them. And the crucial issue in this particular budget were the cuts, and as I thought, in the library and the mental health care, which are just inexcusable as long as we have the existing TIF program. There shouldn't be any cuts, as I see it, in something as important as mental health care or libraries. In fact, we should be spending more money, particularly if we have hundreds of millions of dollars just sitting in reserve. And then, of course, it's a little more arcane. We talked about it last week or maybe the week before, the whole water sewer tax hike, which was a tremendously regressive tax, a good chunk of which is being used to supplement the city's corporate budget. That's the kind of smoke and mirrors budget gimmick that Amaya Pawar in particular crusaded against. So I was disappointed that he went along with that.
Let's take Pawar. Why do you think he folded?
Well, I can only speculate. I haven't talked to him in a while. I guess it's part of the pressure of being a rookie and not knowing your way around, part of the pressure of representing Mayor Emanuel's home base. Mayor Emanuel lives in the 47th Ward. Part of the pressure of wanting to fortify his position as the alderman by raising more money, by going along. If you go along with the crew, then the crew will endorse you.
How does it help him raise more money to go along with the mayor's agenda?
Oh, well, in obvious ways, the mayor shows up at his fundraising party or whatever it is. That just sends in more big money.
Is that happening?
Yeah, that was in the newspaper. I don't know if it has happened or will happen. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of the ward remap, the ward redistricting. I would suspect that many of the people who voted yes for the mayor's budget with all these little devious slush funds in them and cutting libraries at a critical time when we shouldn't be cutting libraries and closing mental health clinics, I think that a lot of these aldermen just figured it's probably a good idea for their own political survival to go along with the mayor so that at the very least they don't antagonize him when it comes to rearranging the wards. The boundaries are being drawn up as we speak, and some aldermen could be moved out of existence. You know, they could be put into a ward other than the one that they're currently in. They could suddenly be going up against an incumbent. They might have to move. Their political existence is threatened. And I was hoping that in the case of Mayor Pawar, that he wouldn't care about that. You know, he ran as an independent who wasn't looking to make a career out of politics, that if he just served one term, that would be fine with him. He'd go back to his private life. So I was hoping he wouldn't fall prey to that sort of pressure.
Are there any other influences you see on particular aldermen that may have turned them? Like, what about Scott Wagesback?
Well, I presume that Scott Wagesback's yes vote, and I haven't talked to Scott about it. I talked to him before the budget. I think that probably had a lot to do with the ward boundaries, the ward redistricting, and also, you know, he's about to have a big political battle against John Fritchie for committeeman of the 32nd Ward and probably doesn't want to alienate Rahm Emanuel at that moment. I think a lot of aldermen, I wrote this in a blog post, a lot of aldermen probably figured, well, if I'm going to be the only one voting no, what's the point? It's sort of the mentality that existed with the Olympics. I used to hear that from a lot of aldermen who would assure me off the record that they agree with everything I was writing, but they didn't want to be the one vote. And what's the percentage in being the one vote?
Leon Dupre would never have said that.
I love Leon Dupre. I love him more and more. More than yesterday, but not half as much as tomorrow.
If only we had music. Perhaps a conversation for another day is this issue of aldermen being influenced because they want to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs to me that if we didn't have a system of government, no matter what level, city, state, county, federal, where every person who is in office is looking in some part, if not mostly, just how to keep their job, then we would have an entirely different system because no one would care about, you know, getting money or having their base protected. And maybe that talks about term limits.
You're getting right at the term limit argument. I remember having it, gosh, was it probably the early '00s or was it the late 90s? Can't remember when that baby was alive.
It's been quite a while.
All my many right-of-center friends were advocating it.
It's looking better all the time.
Looks better all the time, yeah. I was actually against it on the grounds that, God, is this going to sound incredibly naive, that the electorate should be responsible for cleaning up the sewage that is American politics today, and that we shouldn't depend on tricks like term limits.
It feels like abrogating our
responsibility, yeah. And then there's also the notion that larger interests will always prevail, so that even term limits won't affect what happens in city hall. So in other words, to use a particular example that I'm really obsessed with at the moment, which has nothing to do specifically with city hall, but the state's Christmas gift of $100 million or so tax break to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Merry Christmas, CME group.
Presumably, those corporate interests would be served even with term limits because it would just be replaceable parts. I could see a similar argument being advanced for the city council as well.
Well, we'll wish happy Christmas, Hanukkah, and other holidays, New Year.
Wait, time out. Why don't you read the joke?
You want me to read the joke?
I mean, this is such a gloomy interview about how
end of the year joke
deformed our political process.
Let me see if I can give it a glow at a spin.
So there, I don't know.
A doctor walks into his examining room and says to the patient, "Sir, you're going to have to stop masturbating." "Why?" the patient says. And the doctor says, "So I can examine you." Let's have the rim shot, please.
You've really got to work on the delivery. I'd use the hands a little more, pacing. You have a whole year. I'll throw out another joke next year. And
we'll get one a year.
One a year,
all
yeah.
Right, well, on that note,
yes.
If our listeners want to hear that joke again, you can check back at MrRadio.org and go there to hear our other interviews from the past 4 years. Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year to you.
And if you want to get these broadcasts automatically, you could subscribe by going to the website and there are instructions there. If you have a question you'd like to ask me or Ben, please send that to contact@MrRadio.org. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.